My name is Scott. I'm one of the pastors here at The Grove, and we have been wrapping up Ecclesiastes for the last couple of weeks, and we're just going to try and plow through the last of chapter 11 and all of chapter 12 today. The reason we're able to do that, I think, is because this passage today is pretty just cut and dry. So we may be covering a lot, but we're not going to necessarily have to explain a lot of it. It's pretty clear. Next week, though, we are going to be jumping back to the book of Acts. So two summers ago, we went through a series we called Relentless Church, and we looked at the first seven chapters of Acts, looking at how the early church got started. And so this summer, we're going to jump back into Acts, and we're going to kind of continue on in that journey and look at really how we got to where we're at today. And so I'm pretty excited about being able to go back to Acts. I think it's going to be a real encouraging time for us because, one, it's going to show us that it's not just us that are dysfunctional as Christians. The early church had its fair share of struggles. Okay, but today we're going to be landing and wrapping up Ecclesiastes, and I'm actually pretty excited about this too. Let's just go ahead. We're going to dig right into chapter 11, verses 7 through 10. Let's read that, and then I'll come back and I'll make a couple quick observations. Here we go. Light is sweet. How pleasant to see a new day dawning. When people live to be very old, let them rejoice in every day of life. But let them also remember that there will be many dark days. Everything still to come is meaningless. Young people, it's wonderful to be young. Enjoy every minute of it. Do everything you want to do. Take it all in. But remember that you must give an account to God for everything you do. So refuse to worry and keep your body healthy. But remember that youth with a whole life before you is meaningless. All right, now we've kind of given Solomon a rough time through this because he's not the glass half full kind of guy. You know, he's kind of pessimistic. He's not necessarily super excited. But sometimes, in some ways, I think he may get a little bit of a bad rap. He may get a little bit of a bad reputation because ultimately, I think he's just kind of like that over-realist kind of guy. He's observing a lot of things. But here's where he says, like right at the very beginning of our passage today, light is sweet. Every day is beautiful. Like, there are times when everything is just going right and it is fantastic. And he says, enjoy it. Too often, we just kind of like don't even really think about it. We're just kind of like going through the motions. And right today, he starts right off just going, hey, guess what? Man, when you're out there and you actually notice the sun, you feel it and it's just good, that's awesome. That's sweet. That's delicious. That's like honey. So good. Now, unless you're like me, really fair complected, and then it's kind of like a catch-22. You go out in the sun, you explode or burst into flames. But it's enjoyable, right? After a rainy day, and all of a sudden for weeks where it seems like it's rained, when the sun comes out, what do you want to do if you're inside? Go outside. Yeah, I did. And if you're stuck inside, you're like, oh man, it's finally beautiful and I just want to be out. It's good. Every day is awesome. It's beautiful. And that's not a quote from a Lego movie. That's what it is, all right? We sit back in verse 8, he says this, when people live to be very old, let them rejoice in every day of life, but let them remember there'll be many dark days. Okay, so this section is really Solomon writing to a younger group of people, all right? And there's a good diversity of ages here in this room. And that's fantastic, and there's some really great application for that today. But please understand this, okay? He's saying, don't miss it. Don't take life for granted. This whole series has been called Discovering Real Life. And I think right out through this section, we're going to see he believes that life is short. Life is short, so enjoy it while you can, but don't forget God. Life is short, enjoy it while you can, but don't forget God. Because look, we are fragile, we are mortal, we break easily, and life goes by a whole lot more quickly than we ever thought it would. He says, make the most of your life. do everything you want to do. That's kind of weird, right? That's kind of weird to sit and hear somebody in the scripture go, hey man, the Bible tells me to do whatever I want to do. That's not permission to like go crazy. Because right afterwards he says, remember, you're going to give account to God for everything. God still has boundaries for us. But too many of us sit around and we go like, man, you know what? When I grow up or we're young, we kind of lay out these plans of everything that we want to do in like the long term. Like for me, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a graphic artist. I wasn't really that talented. I didn't really pursue it, you know? But I remember that was the first thing I wanted to do. It's like, yeah, I want to draw cartoons. And then I was horrible at it. So, you know, you kind of like, there's realism in the process. But there's all of these things that I remember sitting back and going like, yeah, and I think I want to do that. And it really kind of came to a head when I felt like God wanted us to plant a church. And I was in a career that I loved. Was it hard? Yeah, but I loved my career. I loved what I did for my job. And I remember sitting there with my boss and talking about it with Amy at times, and I remember feeling like this. If I stick with my job instead of the church, I'm always going to regret it. Even if the Grove never got off the ground, I think I would have regretted it if I didn't pursue it. And I think that's what Solomon is talking about here. I think that's what the author of Ecclesiastes is saying. It's like, look, if God gives you a dream for something, if God calls you to do something, don't just let it go away. Because life is short. Make the most of every moment you get. Make the most of every moment you get, because in an instant it could be gone. In an instant your life can change. So make the most of it. It's not about greed or lust or just a piling more stuff on for you, okay? That's not why he's saying do whatever you want. Because again, we're still going to give account to God. Verse 10 says this, so refuse to worry and keep your body healthy, but remember that youth, the whole life before you, this is meaningless. It's meaningless, all right? Look, he's saying take care of yourself, all right? Take care of your body. You only get one of them, so don't abuse it, all right? But I do want to say this. In verse 10, in the New Living Translation, it says, so refuse to worry and keep your body healthy. Okay? Now, we've talked about why we use two translations here at the Grove. Okay? We use the New Living Translation because it's more of a thought for thought. Okay? Where they try to take the ideas of what the Scripture is saying and put it into readable language. Okay? We also use the English Standard Version, which is more of a literal translation. Okay, and the English Standard Version is below. It says, remove vexation from your heart. And I really appreciate the actual literal translation of this. Because here's the thing. How many of you ever have something that just really troubles you? Right? How many of you guys have something that there is just weight over it? You sit back and you're like, man, you know what? You can go, there's abuse, there's addiction, there is neglect, there is dysfunction everywhere. And Ecclesiastes would say, remove vexation from your heart. The things that overwhelm you, the things that are crazy. Now remember, he's talking to young people here, okay? He's talking to people that are young. He's saying, make the most of every day. Make it count. Pursue the dreams that God gives you. Live in a way that will make God happy. And remove vexation from your heart. Why would he tell that to young people? Why would he say, deal with your junk now? Why? Because if you don't deal with it while you're young, if you don't deal with the junk that's in your heart, the baggage that we carry while we're young, it gets harder and harder and harder to deal with it as you get older. Spend time with somebody that's lived with a life of addiction. Spend time with somebody that's lived with a life of believing the lie that they're worthless. Spend time with someone that's, their whole life has been about their failures. When you get to be old, and if that's the identity that you've adopted, that's the way that you look at the world, it's really, really hard to deal with. And so Ecclesiastes is telling young people, hey, deal with your junk now, because it's not going to get easier if you just ignore it and just kick the can down the road. Right? Too many of us do that. It's uncomfortable. So we're just like, yeah, I don't want that. So we just push it off. I love the phrase, deep roots never come up on the first pull. You ever have a kid pick dandelions for you? Right? I've got two right now. Actually, they don't pick them for me. They pick them for their mom. All right? And they come up, our kids, they come up with like mini wheelbarrows or dump carts full of dandelions, right? They're like, oh, hey, that's it. I got it. You would think we're collecting dead dandelions on our porch, all right? And we are. Our dog likes to eat them, but they're kind of like the kids are doing that. Now, I would be completely foolish to think that those dandelions aren't going to grow back again, right? That's how it works, right? You can rip the top off, but what do you have to get out? The root. Deep roots never come up on the first pull. Deep roots never come up on the first pull. And so if you've got junk or baggage and things that are a part of your life, don't think that just because you pluck the top off of it and you start dealing with it right then and there, that all of a sudden you're going to be good. Don't assume that if just you can remove the surface issues in your life, that it's going to be okay. Ecclesiastes is saying, remove vexation from your heart. Don't just tolerate it. Don't just get rid of something. Understand that deep roots don't come up with the first pull. You're going to spend time dealing with your junk. So don't miss it. Don't neglect it. Make the most of every day. Enjoy it. Pursue the dreams that God gives you. But understand, if you've got things in your heart, pull them out while you can, while they're young, before they take deep roots, before they get deeper. Maybe you're here and you've got those deep roots. Please understand, don't just get discouraged and go, it's never going to change. I'm never going to be any different from who I am right now. I've watched way too many people believe that too. That they're like, hey, you know what? This faith, this God thing, it's okay, I like it, but the reality is this is who I am and I'm never going to transform. I'm never going to be anybody different from this. That's a lie. Does it mean that you're not going to be disposed to certain things? Absolutely not. But it does mean, don't just try to pull it up on the first time and then get discouraged and go, forget it. You've got to keep going back for the roots. You've got to keep going back for the things that got you where you're at. I think about the ministry Clean and Sober Through Christ that we host here. That's one of our ministries here for people that struggle with addiction, people that are living with addiction. It's a great thing. If you or somebody you know and care about is living and struggling with addiction, then Wednesday nights here at 7 o'clock is when the group meeting, we do a Bible study at 6 o'clock too. But it's a great thing on Wednesday nights. I know people that are just eaten up or consumed by lust. There's NEPA help. That meets here on Saturdays. If you're in those places, you have those deep roots that are going on, don't just get discouraged on the first time that you fall. Understand, deep roots take time to come up. And often, we just kind of like don't even want to acknowledge that the roots are there. So we just ignore them. We don't involve ourselves in a community of people that love Jesus and love us that can go, hey, I think you need to dig a little bit more here and come alongside of you. So remove vexation from your heart, okay? So here's the thing, all right? At this point, he said, like, life is short. One day you're playing in the yard with your friends. The next day you're playing in the yard with your kids or your friends' kids. And the next day you're sitting around yelling at kids to get out of your yard, right? Life is short. It's going to go by more quickly than you realize it. It's going to be here and gone in a moment. So what do you do? All right? 12:1 says this, don't let the excitement of youth cause you to forget your Creator. Honor him in your youth before you grow old and say life is not pleasant anymore. That's really what Ecclesiastes is saying here at this point. Look, don't forget God. Don't get so caught up in the moment as a young person that you're just going through it and all of a sudden God's like an afterthought. Because when you're in your teens, when you're in your 20-somethings, guess what? You're making choices that are going to affect the course of the rest of your life. So don't forget God when you're there. Don't neglect God when you're a young man or a young woman. Don't do it. That's what Ecclesiastes is saying. Don't miss it. Don't forget him. Because your choices are going to affect the rest of your life. One of the things that it says, you don't see it in the New Living Translation, is he says this. It says, don't let the excitement of youth cause you to forget your Creator. And it says, when the days of evil or when the years of evil draw near. Okay? It's actually in the literal translations. It just says here, when the years draw near to which you will say, I have no pleasure in them, meaning about life. The evil days come. Sorry. Do you realize death and growing old wasn't in God's original plan? That's hard for me to wrap my brain around. I'll just be honest with you. It's hard for me to look at Scripture sometimes and go, wow, we were made to exist in fellowship with God where there wasn't death and suffering? I believe it. It's there. But the reality is I've done funerals for people, young and old. I've watched people that I love and care about pass away. I've watched and felt my body not respond in the ways it used to respond, right? The things I didn't even think about. Now I'm like, oh man, I got elbow problems. I got wrist problems from things that are weird. I have a chiropractor now. Why? Because I'm getting old. The reality is that like life comes up on us quickly. And there's going to come a day when you wake up, if you wake up, where you're sitting there going, oh man, I got to go for another day. You're not going to enjoy it as much because life is going to get hard. And that's what the next chunk of verses is really talking about. The author of Ecclesiastes, he's going through the aging process. He's just going to work through it. And so I'm not going to spend a lot of time digging this apart. And I like the way the New Living tries to supply what he's actually talking about here, because some of the literal translations don't. They're analogies, they're metaphors that would have been a part of the original language that everybody there would have gone like, oh yeah, I get that. But we don't. So that's one of the reasons I like New Living Translation here. Let's pick it up in verse 2, and we're going to read through 7. Remember him before the light of the sun and moon and stars is dim to your old eyes and rain clouds continually darken your sky. Remember him, talking about God, before your legs, the guards of your house, start to tremble. You ever feel like your legs don't hold you up anymore? Keepers of the house and strong men are bent. And the grinders cease because they are few. And those who look through the windows are dimmed. And the doors on the street are shut when the sound of grinding is low. That's talking about teeth. I think what happened is I have the ESV translation up there. I'm going to read from New Living just so you guys catch it, okay? All right? You can follow along in the pew if you want to on page 398. So here we go. Hopping back in here. Remember him before the light of the sun and moon and stars is dim and to your old eyes, and rain clouds continually darken your sky. Remember him before your legs, the guards of your house start to tremble, and before your shoulders, the strong men stoop. Remember him before your teeth, your few remaining servants stop grinding, and before your eyes, the women looking through the windows see dimly. Remember him before the doors to life's opportunities is closed, and the sound of work fades. You lose your hearing. Now you rise at the first chirping of the birds, but then all their sounds will grow faint. You don't sleep as well as you used to. You wake up early, and then you can't even hear the birds. I remember when my dad got hearing aids, and he fell asleep with them in one night, and he woke up the next morning and goes, "What is that noise, Vita?" My mom. And he was kind of scared. Turns out it was birds, and he hadn't heard birds in the morning in years. So eventually your hearing goes. Right? Remember him before you become fearful of falling and worry about danger in the streets. Remember before your hair turns white like an almond tree in bloom and you drag along without energy like a dying grasshopper and the caperberry no longer inspires sexual desire. Remember him before you near the grave, your everlasting home, when the mourners will keep at your funeral. Eventually, your body's going to fall apart. And it's funny because Solomon here, the guy that had 700 wives, 300 concubines, all right? He says, eventually, after your body falls apart, then you're not even going to want to have sex anymore. That's like the last thing to go. So I don't think it's a phase, ladies. I'm sorry. But that's where he's at. And he pulls out, he mentions this idea of caper berries no longer inspiring sexual desires. He's just realistically, it's like the oysters and chocolate-covered strawberries. All right, that's what he's talking about here. He's saying, look, all of the little things that you're going to do to try and respond physically or intimately, they're not going to work anymore. Eventually, your body's going to stop. You're going to grow old, and it's not going to work anymore. So remember God before everything falls apart. Yes, remember your Creator now while you're young, before the silver cord of life snaps and the golden bowl is broken. Don't wait until the water jar is smashed at the spring and the pulley is broken off at the well. For then the dust will return to the earth and the spirit will return to the God who gave it. He's saying, life is short. Don't forget God. Life is short. Don't forget God. So how in the world does that help us discover real life? One is, don't live in denial. You're going to grow old and you're going to die. So don't try to pretend that you're not. Don't be cynical and sit around and just bash it. And bash people that have grown old before you. Don't be cynical about life. It's horrible, it's disgusting, whatever. But be realistic and find joy in every moment. We have a limited amount of time, so we need to make it count. We have a limited amount of time, so we need to make it count. Remember, in Ecclesiastes, we have an author that has been more successful, pursued pleasure that we couldn't even wrap our brains around, that has been more accomplished than I have or most of us have. Actually, in his day and age, probably the most accomplished man on the planet. You have someone that has experienced life, luxury, leisure, everything. And in the end, he says, don't miss the moments. Do what God's wired you to do. Don't forget God. Because all of those other things, no matter what it is, no matter how good it is, no matter how much you enjoy them, in that moment, in the end, they're going to leave you empty. In the end, they're going to leave you disgruntled if you're looking to find your meaning and your source of life there. So don't expect pleasure or success or luxury to provide you with meaning. You want to discover real life? Don't look for life somewhere other than God. Enjoy every moment. Take advantage of your youth. If you can still move, then take advantage of it. And then deal with things early. Don't wait until you're older, because it just gets harder to deal with the lies we've believed at that point. And then remember God. Because it's easy to forget. And we could stop here. And I think Ecclesiastes would be a good place to stop. But there's just a little bit more. And I'm going to read it and make a couple observations for us. And then our band's going to come up. Chapter 12, verses 8 through 14 to land it. Everything is meaningless, says the teacher, completely meaningless. Keep this in mind. The teacher was considered wise, and he taught the people everything he knew. He listened carefully to many proverbs, studying and classifying them. The teacher sought to find just the right words to express truths clearly. The words of the wise are like cattle prods, painful but helpful. Their collected sayings are like a nail-studded stick with which a shepherd drives the sheep. But my child, let me give you some further advice. Be careful, for writing books is endless, and much study wears you out. That's the whole story. Here now is my final conclusion. Fear God and obey his commands, for this is everyone's duty. God will judge us for everything we do, including every secret thing, whether good or bad. How many of you guys have really felt like Ecclesiastes was just like a pick-me-up chipper book, right? No? Nobody? Oh, wow. So here's the thing, all right? This is what he says as he starts to land it. He says, look, I studied. I collected all of these things. I was looking for truth. I was looking for wisdom, and I wanted to be able to share with you truth and wisdom so that you could live life the way God intended you to live it. And it's not always comfortable to hear truth. It's not always comfortable to hear wise words. He describes it as a stick with nails in it used to move sheep. All right? Have you felt like that at times in Ecclesiastes? Like, where is their comfort here? This guy's just beating me up and he's miserable. All right? I have at times. It's uncomfortable, but he's saying there is purpose to it. If all you ever do is hear people tell you things that you like, you need to reconsider who you're listening to. Verse 12 says, hey, I just want to caution you about like words and all of these other things that keep adding on. Be careful, for writing books is endless and much study wears you out, is what he says. Which really in the context kind of goes like this. I've given you truth. I've told you how to live. So stop looking for more wisdom everywhere else just because you don't like what I'm saying. You know, if we actually engaged with Scripture, if we actually read with the Bible and we're like, hey, I just need to do what Scripture is talking about. I need to live in response to this instead of going, oh man, I'm not really comfortable with that. Let me see if I can find a way that somebody can explain it so it's easier for me to handle. I think there's a caution here for us that would say, be careful. Don't just run away from truth and wisdom because it's uncomfortable or because you disagree with it. Because in the end, you'll wear yourself out. Because there's no shortage of people that are willing to explain things. And he concludes by saying that really it comes down to knowing God, knowing who he is and where we stand before him, keeping his commands, and realizing that we're accountable to God. You want to discover real life. You don't look for meaning in anything other than a right relationship with God. And this is a guy that throughout this whole book has tried everything. And he says in the end, it comes down to knowing who God is and where we stand before him. Obeying him, which is really the heart of worship, and understanding that we will be accountable to God. There's a quote from Tony Evans that says this. He says, the old belief centuries ago was that the sun revolved around the earth. As we now know, this belief is wrong. The earth revolves around the sun. Many of us have got it wrong in our spiritual lives. God doesn't revolve around us. We will revolve around him. And we know that we fear God when we have made him the centerpiece of our lives. That's what Pastor Mike talked about last week. Are you pursuing things just because you think you need them? Or are you pursuing the kingdom of God? Because the final message of Ecclesiastes is not that nothing matters. It's that everything matters. We are all accountable to God. So he ends by saying to the young people, remember God. What if you're not young anymore? What if you're here today and you're like, hey, that's not me. I'm off the hook. No, you're not. You're not. One of the things that's beautiful about this body of believers here at the Grove is that it's not just young people. There are people with a lot more life experience around than some of us. And my hope and my prayer is that those of you that have been on this journey we call life for a little bit longer than us, that know God, that love Him, that understand Scripture, that it's not just about you just making the most of this day and being comfortable, but instead that it's about you saying, I love Jesus and I want to come alongside of these young people. And I want to invest in a way that's going to help them not forget God while they're young. Because if we just have a group of young kids here, and I say young meaning kids, just meaning like teens, 20s, maybe 30s, like we're still trying to figure out life. And sometimes we just need somebody that's been through life to come alongside of us and go, hey, just be careful here. Hey, watch out for this, okay? Remember that God, hey, that's not a good idea. God doesn't want that for you. And calls us to remember God. And if you're here and you're on the older side of life, guess what? Sometimes having relationships with young people is really encouraging. That it's not just about us existing in our own little places, but it's about us being the community God has called us to be, to discover real life together. So if you're young, guess what? You got a great pool of people here at the Grove that you should be introducing yourself to, that you should be having meals with, that you should be figuring out how do I get time around these people. And if you're old, and I say that lovingly, if you're old, understand, don't just live for yourself. It's not about retirement. It's not about your 401k. It's about discovering God and remembering who He is and then giving back. I know in my life there have been seasons where I long and hunger for older, mature Christians to come alongside and just remind me that it's going to be okay. For whatever reason in the church, we have just abandoned generations. We put divisions between us, and we don't love each other well. We kind of feel like we'll figure it out on our own. I hope that's not the case for us here. I hope we keep figuring out what it is to discover real life, to discover who God is, and then to follow Him and serve Him together. Let's pray. Father, thank You for today. Thank You for Ecclesiastes. At times it has felt like a stick with nails in it, and it hurts. God, I'd ask You'd help us to not just run away from it. Help us to make the most of each day. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.